Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Melanie C. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Thursday, February 27th, 2020, and this is a 10 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book study meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book. We're in the chapter Working with Others on page 93, the very first paragraph beginning with when dealing with such a person and then ends with your own convictions are. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Karen W., the 12 Traditions, Terry S. Reading the text today, we have support, Donna W., Jordan L., Leslie M., and greeting newcomers, getting sponsor contact info would be Elena A.M., and then Robin P. will round us out with our announcements today. Thank you so much. The share ID numbers for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study Meeting is 14181. That's 14,181. That would be for Wednesday, February 26, 2020, 10 a.m. And then this morning's meeting, the 7 a.m. meeting that just happened, that share ID number is 14185, 14,185 for Thursday, February 27, 2020. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Karen W. to please read the 12 steps of OA.
Good morning. This is Karen W., recovered from Long Island, New York. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thanks so much. Have a great day.
Thank you, Karen W. I will now ask Terry S. to please read the 12 traditions of OA.
Good morning. This is Terry S. in Bend, Oregon. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority: a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for letting me do service.
Thank you, Terry S. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to remute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. This would indicate the star 1 function only on your keypad, please. Today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're in the chapter Working with Others. We're on page 93 today, starting with paragraph 1. We'll unpack that single paragraph today, and it begins with, when dealing with such a person, and then ends with what your own convictions are. And I'd like to have Donna W. open this meeting up by reading that paragraph and sharing on what the directions mean to her. Good morning, Donna.
Good morning, Melanie. This is Donna W. calling in from Palo Alto, California. So grateful for abstinence and recovery today. When dealing with such a person, you had better use everyday language to describe spiritual principles. There is no use arousing any prejudice he may have against certain theological terms and conceptions about which he may already be confused. Don't raise such issues, no matter what your own convictions are. Well, earlier in this chapter, we've been told to share our kind of everyday experiences and to listen to this prospect. And, it's not about our own beliefs, it's about helping others. So it's important that we're neutral. And, I like to listen to this person first so that I'm connecting and relating and kind of, you know, depending on their terms. So I might listen and hear how they describe, how they eat and also what they believe in. And then I would ideally relate my experiences in similar terms. It's not the time to start going off on program, all of the sayings we have and, all those things that we have, the abbreviations that, a lot of the sayings we have, because that might just alienate them, or to go on about all my beliefs. It's not about trying to prove how spiritual I am during this time. It's all about identifying in, just like when we read Bill's story in the beginning of the book. Excuse me. Just like when we read Bill's story, it's about identifying in and going, oh, yeah, I'm like that. So that's what it's about, is identifying in and connecting. And, and also, like, my relationship with my higher power is pretty private. I don't go into a lot of detail around that. I feel like that's personal. It's between me and my higher power, just like my relationship with my husband is, you know, the way we relate is personal. So, you know, I would definitely share that I have a relationship with a higher power, but you know, I wouldn't go into a lot of details around that. So, you know, the main thing is to stay down to earth, keep it simple, and connect. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Donna. Appreciate that. Lines are now open for additional folks to comment on paragraph 1, page 93 in our big book in the chapter Working with Others. If you give me your first name, the first initial of your last name, I can take a bit of a lineup. Star 1, please, is the key function.
Julie E.B.
Julie E.B.
Freya E.
Shreya.
Shlomi Tana B.
Shlomi Tana B.
Terry F.
Terry F. That's a long pause. Let's go with that lineup. Julie E. B., Freya H., Shlomi Tana B., and Terry F. Hey, come on, Julie.
Good morning. I'm grateful to be here this morning, and I love the discussion here about understandable terms and spirituality, and I think, because, you know, some people know I did get a degree in God. My kids think that's really funny, but I was living my life in a crazy manner. And even now, sometimes I just feel different emotions just pop up from somewhere, and I really have to work my program. Luckily, this morning I had something. I felt some anger, and I was able to go back to that person and say, sorry, I sounded so frustrated. And they're like, well, I can understand, but, you know. And the reason I can do that today is because I'm, for me, a couple understandable terms for me is I've developed the term that I have a lower power voice, and that lower power voice tells me you're no good, and if you can't be perfect, there's no use trying, and the lower power voice tells me you might as well eat, there's nothing, no hope for it anyway, and just replacing when I'm catching that first thought instead of even that first bite has been an incredible part of this program for me, because if I have a higher power who says you're enough and who says you're going to make mistakes, then I can go right back to that person I spoke to this morning and say, hey, I'm so sorry. You know, you've had a long night, and, you know, someone made a mistake. It's obviously not you. You know, this situation's happened before, so I can come to realize I might have some resentment about that and not being seen as important, and yet the funny thing about that is the only way, that's the lower power voice, and I'm not important. And the higher power voice says to me, I see you. You're not invisible to me. You are important to me. But in the scheme of life, you know, you're just like another star in a whole universe of stars. Some are near, some are closer. There's infinite number of paths. And so I can get right sized again. Another one that's come up lately that's just understandable for me is you know, the fact that if my kid starts tying their own shoes, there's no way mom can get in there and also tie those shoes. Anyone who's tried to tie shoes together with a kid knows that there's like a lot of fingers in there. And so a lot of times I try and tie my own shoes, and then I wonder why God's not helping me, why God's not there for me. But I was tying my own shoes, and so there's no room to just reach out my foot and say, hey, can you help me? And I think of some of the powers of love that I've had in my life. When I was 4 months bedbound, my middle son tied my shoes every day for 4 months, and he was about 12 years old. That is love, and he still gives me a chance today after working this program. Thanks for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Julie E.B. Freya H., you're up now with 3 minutes, and then Shlomi Hanna, you'll follow.
Thank you. Freya H., compulsive eater, bulimic, recovered in Colorado. Thank you for the opportunity to share. What this paragraph brings to mind is what we now have in the tradition, and that when this book was written, they didn't have the traditions, but the traditions, particularly the tradition that tells me that I need to leave outside issues outside of a meeting, and that, you know, even if it I think it may be helpful, I still need to keep the focus on just the steps and the traditions. And there, I feel so safe having that tradition, and I love it. You know, it's always really, it can be scary and tense when there's somebody sharing in a meeting something that is, you know, from a particular faith, or, you know, reading from a particular book. And I'm so grateful when the leader is willing to speak up and say, I'm sorry, but we just, you know, we don't do that here. We just keep our focus. Because I've been in meetings where, you know, someone wants to quote or read from the Bible because it's helped them. And that's a wonderful thing, but we don't do that in our meetings. And that I can definitely see how that could really confuse a newcomer or someone who's, you know, been working the program for a while. But, you know, hearing all of these outside influences and even not naming them, you know, like we don't need to name them. Because that can be confusing as well, that we just keep our focus on our steps and our own program. And it's also thinking that this can apply to certain other outside issues that have to do with food, nutrition, diet, weight loss, that type of stuff, that stuff can be, that can trigger responses in people that confuse the issue. So that's a thought that I had about this. And it also brought to mind other places in the big book that talk about, you know, the open attitude. And one place is on page 28 in the chapter, There is a Solution, that I just love. It says, we have no desire to convince anyone that there's only one way by which faith can be acquired. If what we have learned and felt and seen means anything at all, it means that all of us, whatever our race, creed, or color, are the children of a living creator, with whom we may form a relationship upon simple and understandable terms as soon as we are willing and honest enough to try. And just that brings so much hope that I, you know, it seems like it's so heartfelt the way that they're expressing this idea that, you know, that this is open to everybody. And the instructions in this particular paragraph that we're studying are helping us to do that by not arousing existing prejudices. So with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Freya H. Shlomit Hana B., it's your 3 minutes now, and then Terry S. will follow you, and then we'll open up the lines again.
Okay, thank you so much. I appreciate your service so much to the moderator and to the timekeeper and every single person on this meeting and in this fellowship. So I think what stuck out for me in that small paragraph is the term everyday language. To use everyday language to talk about spiritual principles and, you know, in order to not arouse prejudice using these grand theological terms. And what comes to mind is the old slogan, keep it simple. I know that as an addict, I can tend to complicate things. I certainly can tend to complicate things that I'm not happy about. And I can actually complicate things that I am happy about. And I think that, you know, to me, this paragraph is saying, just keep it simple. Things don't have to be complicated. You don't have to go into so much detail and, you know, and using, you know, theological terms and, you know, complicated terms and terms that might, you know, arouse prejudice. You know, I think another thing, a lesson that I'm gaining from this also, is that less is more. I know that sometimes, as an addict, I can be a little bit filterless, and I can say too much, you know? And I remember when I was in graduate school, one of my professors, when I was turning in a paper, said something that I never forgot, and that was, I always thought that, you know, that I had to be wordy and give long explanations, and he said, you know what, sometimes the shortest papers are the best. And I never forgot that. And I think that that's true here. You know, we don't have to go on and on and on and on. This is a program of attraction rather than promotion. And we can simply explain, you know, what our spiritual program looks like in terms of just, you know, explaining it to another person that has not been in program before, and then let it go. We don't have to go into a whole bunch of details and talk and talk and talk and get overcomplicated, because not only can that arouse prejudice, but I think it also honestly causes confusion. You know, I've heard that also in terms of amends as well, that, you know, I remember I was working in a big book step study years ago, and the woman who was running the workshop said, you know, make the amends short. Don't go on and on. Make them concise. And that makes sense, because the more you go into too much detail, the more people get lost. Mm-hmm. So that'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Slomitana B. Up will come Terry S. for her 3 minutes, and after that we'll open up the lines for additional comments. So hopefully these shares have warmed you up to paragraph 1 on page 93, so we can get some more names this morning. Hi, Terry. It's your 3 minutes.
Hi, Melanie, and hello, visionaries. This is Terry S. in Bend, Oregon, recovered food addict. And I underlined years ago the everyday language in this paragraph as well. And what it reminded me of this morning and why I wanted to share was in 1989, when I came into program, my first sponsor was an ex-nun who had married an ex-priest, and that was the only reason they were ex, was because they wanted to marry. So here I was, a very agnostic, defensive, angry, compulsive overeater at 280 pounds. And I had a nun as my sponsor, which I find absolutely hilarious, because I was so against the word God that it would just make my skin crawl. But she was so gentle and so down to earth about how she had been in recovery, how she worked the steps. She used very simple language. She didn't throw around terms like character defects and higher power. She kept it very, very simple. And it allowed me the space to start to become curious enough to explore and to really hear what was going on with these 12 steps. You know, what is that? All I knew about 12 steps was in nursing school, we had to attend a couple of AA meetings and observe what patients talked about. So I didn't have, really much experience with the 12 steps. But all these years later, when I'm talking with newcomers, when I'm talking with sponsees in the very beginning or prospects, I really try to remember what Myrna taught me by example, which is you keep it simple. You talk about the spirituality, but I keep it really based in what I used to be like, what I used to be doing with the food, and how now I'm pausing, and when I'm anxious and I'm needing direction and I'm looking inward to my higher self or whatever word for my higher power I'm using that day, because I'm very eclectic. And
time.
Okay, so I will end there, and thank you very much.
Thanks, Terry S. That opens up the lines now for additional comments. On paragraph 1, page 93 of your big book, if you give me your first name, the first initial of your last name, I can take a lineup.
Courtney M.
Sunny A.
Janice K.
I'm sorry, the last one I didn't hear.
Sunny S.
Something. Sunny, is that what I heard?
Ricky M. Yeah, that's right, Sunny.
Sunny. Okay,
Janice,
that's what I was looking for.
Barbara E.
And then I heard Ricky, and I heard you, Barbara, too, in there.
Dorita P.
And Dorita.
Janice K.
Did I hear Janice K?
Yes, you did. Thank
okay,
you.
Okay, good deal.
Rachel P.
Rachel P. Let's end there, okay, Rachel? You'll be the last one for this grouping. So we're looking at Courtney M., Sunny, I'll get your last initial here, Ricky M., Barbara E., Dorita P., Janice K., and Rachel P. So back up the list. Courtney M., you're first, and then Sunny will follow you.
Good morning. This is Courtney M., recovered compulsive overeater in Southwest Florida. It's funny. I think I probably underlined the same sentence that everybody else has, it sounds like, with the everyday language. That's what popped out to me. When I first started in this program, I was not, or actually in the program of recovery that I began in, I knew that there was something bigger than me and I could acknowledge that, but because of my upbringing and a really tumultuous sort of nervous breakdown situation that happened in my family. My family was raised in a specific faith. My dad was actually a minister in that faith. And then this big traumatic thing happened and God and church both became dirty words. So for me coming in, and if I had had a sponsor who would have been forceful about, oh, this is what we call our higher power is, you know, our Lord Jesus Christ, I would have been like, all right, see ya, I'm out. I'm from that point on, my hands are over my ears and I'm going, la, 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 I don't want to hear it. So I think that it's so crucial for me as I move forward and reach out and work with others to remember that it's so important to allow people to come in where they're at and keep things simple and keep things on their plane, what feels comfortable to them, because if they are shutting out that concept, they can't get recovered. They can't really experience what those of us who have worked through the steps have had the opportunity to experience. So I think that it's so important to keep that humility, to not necessarily name somebody else's higher power for them. Let them call it whatever they may. Universe, flow, you know, the mother load, whatever they want to call it. It doesn't really matter. The point is they just need to know that it exists and that they aren't it. And then they can move forward. And as a sponsor or as somebody who's reaching out, I can help them with that. And that enables us both to get recovered. And with that, I pass.
Thanks, Courtney. Appreciate that share. Sunny, you're next. And before I let you go and let you loose, would you please give me the spelling of your first name and the first initial of your last name? Sunny, star one, please.
Thank you for asking. My first name is spelled S-A-N-N-E, and first initial is S.
S like Sam or F like Frank?
S like Sam.
S like Sam. Thanks so much. Appreciate that. Okay.
Yeah.
3 months, minutes start now, madam.
Great. Oh, I'm grateful to be on the lines. I haven't been here in a while. What I think what struck me the most was, I mean, really related to the whole spiritual principle of OA, where I'm not telling people what to do. I'm not telling people what, at least this is the way that I sponsored. I don't want people to do what I think they need to do. Instead, I share my experience, and if it works for them, they may pick that up. If it you know, if they're called, if they're drawn to how it works in my life, they may want to give it a try. And I've seen sponsees do that with success in terms of, like, you know, finding answers just because they follow their gut instinct, because it connects to their higher power, and really other examples. But I think it's really important for me to stay in my lane. And just, I don't know, I just feel like it goes along with everything. You know, it's like staying in my hula hoop. And so I can share what happens for me. I can share what I'm experiencing and how program and recovery works in my life, and keep the focus on myself. Because the moment I take inventory of what somebody else is doing, and this goes with friendships, you know, I had a friend ask for advice yesterday, and I really could have said, you know, you need to break up, you need to do this, you need to do that. I was just like, I'm just going to share my experience about how I do things in my relationship, and trust that she'll find an answer through me or through somebody else. But I'm no one's higher power. And I think that's really humbling to recognize also that I will make mistakes and that I'm not perfect and that I will never know what the right answer is for somebody, because only they know. They will know, and their higher power will know. So, yeah, with that, I pass. Thank you for letting me share this morning.
You're welcome, Sonny. That's Sonny F. Appreciate that share. Okay, Ricky M., you're up now, and then Barbara E. will follow you.
Hi, this is Ricky M., recovered in Philadelphia. I really like the last share. That's pretty much what my share is, what I was thinking. How everybody's journey, as I was doing the steps and it came to We Agnostics, my sponsor had me listen to a podcast, and the way the person presented his experience with a higher power was very different than what my, you know, perception of a higher power was. And it was so bothering me, and for such a while, and I was trying to figure out why. And I realized because I needed to come to that acceptance of other people's understanding that it's not necessarily the way I see it. There's different ways to come to the same place. But it was nice that I went through it then, because as I was working the steps, my idea was that once I get to the end, I want to be the best sponsor. And having that understanding, I felt like my higher power was giving me that experience so that when other people struggle, I can understand their struggle. And I think that's the idea. I'm even bringing it into my own personal life. You know, I'm very spiritual, and I have my way of connecting with my higher power. And it's hard when you're around other people not to push it down their throats and kind of overwhelm them. And what I'm finding is living in recovery in the program and constantly constant conscious contact, like always having to connect, I can hopefully learn to speak to people on a regular level, and not overwhelm them with spirituality that they get overwhelmed and run away, you know, run out the back door because they can't feel. Like, just kind of give it over without overwhelming. And, yeah, and hopefully also giving my sponsees that experience, that it's their experience. Let them come to it. You know, don't do it the way I do it. Do it the way you do it, and I'm here to support that. And as long as we're all going in the same direction and growing and getting closer. So I asked somebody when I was struggling, you know, about this higher power. He's like, do you know who my higher power is? And I'm like, no. Do I know who yours is? No. That's the point. Everyone has their own personal connection. And just appreciate and support that and be there for each other. With that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it. Ricky. Barbara E., you're here now. And then Dorita P. will follow you, Barbara.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much. In rereading this paragraph, the sentence that jumps out to me is, to be vital, faith must be accompanied by self-sacrifice and unselfish constructive action. Faith without action won't get me diddly squat. I've struggled with the waltz, the three-step waltz. I can't, God can, I'll let him, for so many years. I was in the 3D of addiction. D denial. I didn't even know I was lying. All I thought was I needed a good diet. I made so many excuses I gave myself for going back to the same behaviors. I was unwilling to get honest with myself despite repeated failures smashed my ego. And this is what I had to share with other people who were considering it. And then the idea of the next one, pardon me, delusion. I was constantly deluding myself that I could do this alone. I did not need anyone else. And finally, defiance. I don't need you. I'm strong enough this time. Self-knowledge will get me what I need. And you know what it got me? Nothing. So when I go to a potential sponsor, I explain to them, if they're interested, if they're desperate, what I did, how I had to get abstinent, and I had to be willing to open the door just a crack to the possibility that there was a power, and I didn't have to give it a name, and I didn't have to personify it. It didn't have to be someone up in the sky smoking a cigar. It just had to be a power that was not me, that was going to help me when I needed help. And I need help every day, from the minute I get up in the morning till the minute I go to bed at night, and then sometimes even in the middle of the night. I explain to them, if they seem like they're interested, what this program has done for me and how it's been different for me than other programs. And all I know is it works, and it's better to take action. To pray is wonderful, but action has to be followed by action.
Fine.
And thank you. I have a good day, everyone. I will pass right now.
Thank you, Barbara E. Dorita P., you're up now with 3 minutes, and then Janice K. will follow in after you.
Thank you, Melanie. Thank you so much for your service. Hi, my name is Dorita P. from Cleveland. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. And I'm really grateful to be here. It's a privilege and honor to be at a meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. Everybody do not get this opportunity for whatever reason. And so I'm really grateful I have a seat here. At the convention, a couple people told me that that's my signature, so maybe I need to keep signing my name when I speak. I was angry at God. I was really angry at God when I came in. Several people had died. I don't know, 4 or 5 people died in a 2-year span. So, God was just taking all of these people I love away. So, you know, my thinking was, if there is a God, he sure hasn't done anything for me, so I'm going to act as if there is no God. And but basically, you guys showed me or taught me that there was just a better way to live. You know, the way I was living was not working. The way I was living, I was dependent on me. You know, I needed to do everything. And, you know, so like I said, everything I was doing wasn't working, so I needed something different, something more. Religion and the Bible in particular religion was like really confusing, you know. The way different people translated the Bible was, I mean, you know, that was different. It was just really, really confusing. And I like what it says in this paragraph. There's no use arousing any prejudice he may have against certain theological terms and conceptions about which he may already be confused. A couple of things I was confused about, a couple of words, was like thee, thou, thy. And I just kind of understood them in the third step prayer. God, I offer myself to thee. So God, I offer myself to you to build with me and to do with me as thou wilt. as you will. So now, thien thou means you, means the same thing. Relieve me of the bondage of self, that I may better do thy will. So thy means your will. So, you know, it was just really, really confusing to me. So I'm just really grateful that this program is simple. It's a simple program for complicated people. And today I try not to complicate things, and I try to keep it simple for the newcomer. And so that's all I try to do. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you so much, Melanie, for all of your service. Thank you.
Thank you, Dorita P. Janice K., your 3 minutes start now, and then Rachel coming after you.
Hi, this is Janice K. in Central Oregon. The sentence I wanted to address is, there is no use arousing any prejudice he may have against certain theological terms and conceptions about which he may already be confused. The comment I have is that agnosticism and atheism can revolve around single issues. I have found in program the statement that overweight believers are agnostic when it comes to food. I found it in one of the sponsorship pamphlets. And I agree with this statement because I was one. I was an absolute confirmed believer, but agnostic when it came to food. This is the experience I had that caused me to realize this. I was cruising in the kitchen one night, reaching for food, and it occurred to me that I had been told I could pray for help. So I prayed. I said, help. And I felt this crack in the lava blast of rage. And I finished grabbing the food and I ate it. And later, in a saner moment, I thought, okay, that was a feeling. What were the words? The words were, you didn't help me then. Why would you help me now? So for me, the source of my agnosticism was going back to the existence of some abuse and neglect I suffered when I was much younger. I had to go back and deal with steps 2 and 3 and find a way that the God of my understanding could exist, create, and promote such a failed and blemished reality. The fact is, we cannot give others our belief. I cannot give others my belief. I can only share what I have. The journey to a higher power is very individual, and I can share my experience and my strength and my hope, but I cannot give or force. Thank you for listening, and I pass.
Thank you, Janice K. Rachel P., your 3 minutes are now. And after Rachel, it looks like we might have room for one more person if that person wants to get ready. Hi, Rachel.
Hi, my fellows. Good morning. My name is Rachel P. I'm a recovered compulsive reader in Denver, Colorado. I had a lot of prejudices when I came into this program, so much so that the first meeting I ever went to, when I heard the word God, I went right back out and experimented for another 6 years before I was ready. I was just so shut down to the word God, to anything to do with a higher power. And then I just got desperate enough, and I'm really grateful for that desperation. But, you know, when I work with others now, I have to understand that my ideas about a higher power are not going to work for any other person. Like, a newcomer, a sponsee I'm working with, has to come up with their own conceptions. You know, that's why these steps say a higher power of your own understanding. And it's so vital that we promote that. I think, you know, like as a sponsor, my job is not to carry somebody down the path. It's to show them the path so that they can walk down that path themselves. And, you know, it's hard to see somebody uncertain or suffering or whatever, but when I try to just give somebody the answers, you know, it doesn't work. Like, I have to help somebody learn. That's my job. And I need to use the language of the steps, right? Like, not my own conception. You know, we have this book for a reason, and so I can call on the words, these beautiful words that Bill W. wrote, and the original 100 lived by to teach that these principles. But when I start to use like my own conceptions and my own biases, you know, it doesn't work. And, you know, I was sitting in a meeting the other day and listening to a newcomer describe her understanding of certain concepts of this program of her recovery. And I was just smiling like an idiot because it really is a beautiful thing to hear somebody articulate their own conceptions. And I love that this paragraph teaches me that, you know, when I try to just give somebody the answers, it's not going to work. I have to guide somebody. So thank you. With that, I will pass.
Fantastic. Thanks so much. You know what? There's three more minutes left for somebody that would like to share. If you, that would be you, give me a first name, the first initial of your last name.
Jordan L.
Hey, Jordan. It's yours.
Margo P.
Oh, Margo, you just missed by a skosh. Jordan's going to take it. Maybe next time, huh?
Okay. My name's Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Thanks, Mal, for leading us this morning. So I too had a lot of trouble with the God concept when I got here. I had sat in 12-step meetings for a long time, and I had heard other people talk about their spiritual experience, and I had heard other people talk about experiencing some of the promises of this program. And I was very angry that I hadn't been able to experience those things myself, despite being here, despite doing the best that I could at the time to try to quote unquote work this. And I was pissed off. I was like, my feeling. When other people talked about those things, they talked about their relationship with their higher power, the feeling that I got, the thought that I had was, why not me? And the feeling that I got was jealousy and shame because 'cause I wasn't experiencing what it was that they were talking about, you know? and so what happened was that was sort of turned on its head when I worked the steps and I took some time in step two, I took some time to really take a hard look at why the conception, the current conception that I had at that point was not working for me. I was sort of confronted with that. And what happened was just like, I don't know, a series of conversations, I guess, with other people that helped me start to let go of that conception that wasn't working for me when I got here, you know? And it's funny now, right? Because I am a sponsor now, and I have sponsees, and I talk to them about these things. I talk to them about these deeply, deeply personal things. to try to help them along on this path the way that I was helped along, right? and it's funny because when I talk about God now, I talk about God because this has so little to do with me. I talk about God because this is possible for anyone. That it has zero to do with like me or my doing or my work or my whatever. I talk about God because this is possible for anyone. And it's so funny the way that that has completely flipped that understanding that God talk, if you will. and the other thing too. Is it's really important for me not to press my ideas on other people. It's for them, for sure, no doubt. It's also for me. It's very important that I am not theorizing or whatever the term is, because that's not good for me. That's not good for my ego. That takes me out of this program. That's all I got.
Thanks so much, Jordan. And that does take us to the end of this time here, the recorded portion. So let's get ready to close this part out so that we can move into our unrecorded portion of our meeting. I would like to ask Jordan L. to please read page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only, and then we'll proceed into the Serenity Prayer. Thank you, Jordan.
Hey, Mel. Thanks again. My name is Jordan L., a recovered compulsive reader in Colorado. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right. Great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great factor. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him or to your fellows and to your fellows. Both. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.